You are listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Welcome. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good morning. Good. Good God. Good. Good grief. We're here on Revolution Radio, a listener-supported radio station. What is it? We're about halfway through the month. How are we doing on the old this month's fundraising? Is it really halfway through the month already? It's the 14th. I just have to. Add that. I have a guest coming on, but I need to get her into Skype first. Okay, now, this should be interesting. I've got two Skype connections going, one out and one back. So, Georgia, would you like to say something to me for a second? Ah, excellent. Right. Okay, so now... try that again, please, Georgia.
Try what, talking?
Yeah, that's brilliant. Actually, yep, that's great. So, I've now got you both ways. So, I'm using two computers to call two different numbers to bring them together on the mixing desk. And luckily, I've got one that can do that. So, finally, I have you on the show.
You did it.
That was quite interesting. I wonder what that's all about.
I have no idea. I don't put anything past anything, literally.
Yep. And even though we only decided to do this about 3 hours ago, because...
Y'all, they hear all. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. So, welcome to Journeys with JP. And really, I don't know where it's going to go. It started this afternoon, earlier on, and... I asked Georgia to come on the show. We were talking earlier on in another call and talking about some interesting things. So I thought, well, let's expand some of that. First of all, let's talk about the now, because there's this moon thing going on, and you were talking quite a lot about that, and you've got some interesting information that I think people would like to hear about it.
Regarding the moon?
Yeah, this full moon and, you know, the energies that are opening at this moment.
Yeah, there are a lot of energies opening up. There's I think this is sparking what's coming ahead, which is going to be the, Pleiadians, come in on May and November at specific windows. Mid-month usually. They vary just a little bit, but they come in every year and they call it Pleiadian lineup. And what that is the ships come in, and they are, out of all the times during the year, this is the time that they're the most easily communicated with. They can communicate with them other times, but this is just amped up energy for that, and this moon is helping that. And they come in, and it's kind of like in the United States here, we call it a State of the Union address in this country. It's where they come to check and see how things are going. They check to see how their experiments are going and how their the Pleiadians that they've got down here, star seeds, are doing and what they need to tweak. And it's just kind of a process to go through and look at all of those things. And they end up having a lot of meetings each night during those times inside of Mount Shasta is their meeting place. And I, as often happens, I don't remember being there. I'm told by people that do, they've seen me, but they wipe your memory via an injection before you come back, and it's a physical, actual physical injection in some way. I'm not sure exactly how it works, but I've woken up many times over the years with a injection site, like a pinprick in between my fingers, either my thumb and my forefinger or the one right next to it. And I don't remember consciously what's going on in there, but I know I'm an active part of it. And it happens every year. It's amping up again, and there's so much going on now that there's going to be a lot of, I'm sure, work being done around it this time.
So, Pleiadian news. So really, this is I've read about this the Pleiadian lineup, and I always miss it. It's a bit like, you know, you know there's a particular festival from some religion that you always really like, but you always miss it because you forget the date or something like that. So this is the moment. And it's very interesting because, I looked up tonight at, the supermoon, up in the sky, and I thought, there's Aldebaran, and there's, and so it's bang on. It's not bang on. It's about 5 degrees south of it. But it, right ascension is, it's bang on. It's a conjunction with the Pleiades, the moon just now. As we breathe, and there's some meteor shower as well, isn't there?
Yeah, I believe there is. I'm not sure exactly when that takes place, but the actual Pleiadian lineup begins the 17th, which is coming right up here. Today's the 14th, so 3 days from now, and I'd have to look up the exact dates of when it's coming in, but it usually lasts for about a week, and they do a lot of work during that time, and it's all centered around the starseeds on the planet that have Pleiadian DNA. So that they're basically watching out for their kids, regardless of what age we are.
All right, so is this when we get upgrades and things like that?
Yes, you can get upgrades, and they sometimes do implants, and the implants are put in for positive benevolent reasons. But if they see the need to do that, I've been told more than once not to have to be very careful about removing implants because a lot of them are there for a reason, mm-hmm. a positive reason. So
can they still hurt sometimes?
I don't know.
I get this kind of feeling right in the middle of my head on the left hand side that is like the center of a tightness. Like there's a point that pulling everything together is like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. You know, mine don't ever cause me any pain, and I've felt that there's some things there that are helping me out on the physical, for one thing. You know, they make sure that I'm shored up physically for the things that I need to do here. It's important that be the case so that I can stay active and keep moving. So, you know, I'm not really sure exactly what's going on inside there, but I know there's a lot going on. So, yeah, it's something I look forward to every year, and I try to make the best use of it, and it's the time that if I have questions or pressing things, this is the time I ask. I ask, you know, for help or assistance or answers to those things. And it really, I can feel the difference for sure. I don't know how everybody else experiences it, but I wasn't aware that this was real common knowledge. I know a lot of starseeds I know about it, but we gather in different places and do energy work around it.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you're talking about starseeds, it's a particular clan, isn't it? I mean, I came across a lady called Lavendar a few years ago. Just when I was starting out working, doing shows on Blog Talk Radio. She was on Blog Talk Radio. I was quite inspired by her. And, but I haven't really kept much listen to what she's up to at the moment. But, It was a fascinating thing. So she talks about this thing called the starseed alignment, which is not the starseed alignment. Is it the starseed code or something? The 25, 26 degrees of your star, yes, of your sign.
I'm not an astrologer. I go to her for that. But it's 25, 26, and 27 degrees on your chart. She discovered very unusually those markings that they were actually markings on someone's birth chart that she could go to and see. And it wasn't something that she was consciously looking for. It was literally one of those synchronistic mm-hmm. events that came up, caught her by surprise. And she was sitting in a restaurant full of people one day, and she kept getting this nudge to ask people for their birth dates. And she literally stood up in the restaurant and said, I'm doing a little, she made up some excuse. You know, I'm doing some kind of a survey or something. And she asked if she could have their, birth dates, and every single person in the restaurant had those markings. Every single person. And it was a way of showing her that there is actually a common thread. And then it stopped and she never had that again. But she gets real, odd things like that happen. But, you know, I can feel, and I think a lot of starseeds are this way, we can sense that. I have a sense that someone is a starseed or not. I don't know how I know it. It's just a knowing. And I work with a lot of young people that are starseeds. And 10 kids may walk up to me, and I may spot it in two of them. I don't know how I do it, but I am a catalyst for kind of waking them up to who they are.
Yeah, I have an idea, you know.
Yeah.
I do this thing called the seven rays.
Uh-huh.
And during my radio career, if you like, I've just read people's rays straight off, you know, during shows. And there tends to be three main groups of people that actually the third group don't really call in because they're not into this kind of thing, because they're part of the cabal or something like that. Yeah. But there's this other group. So there's the group of humans, and then there's the group of starseeds, or awakened starseeds, let's say, because a lot of the starseeds are unawakened sleepers in the human group.
Right.
Nobody knows. Not even them. They don't know who they are either, in the same way that I didn't know who I was either then. So I can tune into this thing that I call the monad, or is called in the ancient world, the monad. Generally that is an indicator that you're either a high initiate on this planet or you're initiate from another planet. And they just shine. You see them. You see them across the room. You know, it almost as if you're falling in love with someone, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a romantic thing, but it's that kind of intensity that you get, isn't it?
It is. There's a quality they have, and there's a whole attitude, and a lot of them aren't woken up. And I understand that there's a timing to it. There was with me, and I asked why I woke up when I did, and I was told for myself specifically it was to keep me safe for what I needed to learn before when you light up, you become very visible. Very visible to good and bad things, and you become like a beacon, and you really need to know who you are sometimes to stay safe, because there are other forces out there that already know that as you start to wake up. So it once you do, it becomes a race almost to learn as much as you can about yourself for some of us. But there are a lot of star seeds that, well, Lavendar's purpose is to support the starseeds. It's to give them a place to come and learn about who they are and step into their missions here on the planet. And so that's what within all that she does, that is the main purpose that she's always focusing on. And she gets a lot of people that call her for readings or gatherings she might be having. And very, very few of them are not starseeds. They're drawn to that too. There's something in them that wakes up and they
recognize. Of course, yeah.
Their name is on it. You know when your name is on something. The first time I went down, to a gathering with her, I had no idea how I was going to pay for it. I really didn't have the money then, but I just knew when I saw it, I knew I had to be there, that my name was on it. And I ended up being the very first person to sign up for the very first thing. And I didn't even know I was doing that. But 2 days later, I agreed to go and I filled out the form. And 2 days later, my daughter walks in with a check almost to the dollar of what I was going to need to go on that trip, because she had just gotten a tax return she wasn't expecting and wanted to wipe the slate clean on some money she owed me. So those things, I've seen it happen over and over again. There's much more at work than what we're seeing, you know, as you well know. But starseeds do have a specific, you know, resonance, I think, here. And that is, we just wake up to who we are, and that's what we're, once you do, once you focus on it, you don't get over it. You can't go back again. You know that you feel this deep, deep sense of purpose, and a lot of people do. Over a lot of things, light workers feel a deep sense of purpose, but it's different. I don't know how to describe the difference, because this is all I've experienced, but, you know, some of these young starseeds coming in these earlier these generations coming up, these really young ones, they just come in brighter and brighter and brighter. It's astounding what they come in with. They're old souls and young bodies, but I came in that first wave, you know, they call it the first wave, and we were the system busters. And so that's who we are. And the ones coming in behind us picked up from there after the systems were being broken open, and they had their parts. And these younger kids that are in 5, 6, 4, 5, 6, they're going to be the ones that are going to create the new world. And I feel, and so do other starseeds, a very strong inclination to help support them and keep them safe, and help the systems break down that are going to make it counterproductive for them to be here because of their vibration. You know, they can't handle these vaccines. They can't handle the school systems the way they are. It destroys these kids, and they need to have that support. So that's part of what I do as well.
Yeah, so to talk a little bit about that you're, are you working with, young people from schools or from college age, or, you know, millennials? My son, who was born in 96, he's in his 20s now, and, you know, being creative and, just kind of, he just seems very on almost on rails into his destiny. You know, it's like there's nothing in the way.
They wake up sooner than I did, because all of it speeds up with every generation. But I didn't consciously pick this. It literally came to me. And when I woke up and discovered that I was a starseed, all of a sudden I started having kids anywhere from their late teens to their early 30s, but mostly in their 20s, show up constantly. They would find me through a friend, through my kids, through whatever, and all of them wanted to talk. Just talk. They felt misunderstood. They never felt like they fit in. I mean, it's like textbook. I've seen so many of them. Many of them suffer with mental health issues, simply because they're damaged, they're sensitive, and they're damaged from, you know, they may have come in here to situations that were adverse, or parents that really didn't get it and worked the other direction, that kind of thing. A lot of them had mental health labels put on them, 3, 4, 5, 6 labels, you know, from different doctors. And that opened my me up to another part of my path here, which was to start speaking out about the mental health system currently and how broken it is. And I saw that there's much more to the mental health spectrum than what meets the eye with the regular system. And these kids, I began to start to sense from them whether there was a brain chemistry issue or whether this was literally coming from experiences they're having out of this dimension that they don't have anybody to talk to about it. The same thing happened to me, and that really kind of resonated with me. It gave me a lot of empathy for them and what they were going through. And I saw that, when you're having a dimensional experience, and you're living in a world where that's not considered normal or sane, they don't have anybody to go to. That the doctors can't help. The mental health professionals don't understand it. They can't go to clergy. They can't go anywhere. There's nowhere to go with this. And so they come to healers. And that's the spot that I ended up filling for them. And, some of them were kind of mentally, that they had some issues with brain chemistry, but it's very convoluted and it needs to be looked at a lot more than it is. The vaccine issue sprouted from that. I became an activist for vaccines because I saw what it was doing to these kids. And the more I saw, the more I realized this isn't an accident. They know who we are and we scare the hell out of them. They don't want to see these kids come in and shine. They're trying their best to keep them down every way they can so that they can't be who they're meant to be. And the first thing I have to do when I work with them is help them see that that's not who they are. Those labels have nothing to do with who they are. And once I give them that expanded vision, they accept it pretty quickly, actually. I see them blossom. I see something in their eyes and something lights up because they've been witnessed. I call it being witnessed. They're witnessed for who they are. That somebody finally sees them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because I think, I certainly spent a lot of time in my life waiting for someone to see me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to make it plain who I was before somebody saw me.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't like somebody came and knocked on my door and said, oh, hello, I see you. No, I had to put myself out there and, be in places for somebody to notice that sort of thing. And it took a long time.
And we're discouraged from doing that because we get slapped down when we do. Mentally, psychically, whatever. And you get to the point where you get gun shy and it's really hard for them. It's very, very empowering to be validated for who you are. Even if it's just one person, it's amazing the catalyst that creates for that person who's recognized for who they are. It's not about ego. It's not about anything like that. It's just about an energetic that sets in when you're witnessed like that. And I've seen it so many times and I've had it happen to me and I know how it felt. You can be surrounded by people who love you dearly and you can be alone in a crowd because you're different. You can't help it. You're different when you come in like this. There's a part of you, your friends that have known you forever and family that think they know you inside and out that aren't awake. Know a sliver of you, and you walk around with that all the time, and it's a pain. It's a real pain in your, heart and your psyche to be like that. But once you're seeing these kids blossom and they want to step out, they're so much more open-minded than my generation. They're easier to work with. They're flexible. My generation, you had to convince them that these things existed. It's almost like once you point these things out to them, it seems normal to them and they just run with it. And they're advanced beings, older soul, I guess they're old souls, but they still have to live out the human here. And they're kids You say, what were you thinking? They weren't, you know, they still have that brain, frontal lobe of the brain that has to fully develop and doesn't usually until your late 20s. And so they need a little bit of direction that way. You know, it's not that they're perfect and don't make mistakes, but they've got a vision and they've got a, they get a fire in their belly for something when there's a gift they're coming in with. I tell them people come in with gifts and you're expected to use those gifts to help mankind and not to blow them off. And so they have been, they're interested in health and cleaning up the planet and the food sources and, for a while I worked with homeless kids because I saw how many of these kids were ending up on the streets and the homeless population, which is very, very big in Seattle here and getting bigger all the time, unfortunately. But there was one kid, I will never forget him. I was sitting there talking to him. I did an outreach every month, with some people here in my community. And we would just get a barbecue, get some people with some guitars and drums, and they would come in droves. They would just hear the music and come in. And I was asking this kid, what do you want to be? What interests you? He said, my biggest passion is to find a renewable source of energy. And this is a kid off the street. And I'm going, okay. He said, but I'm wounded. I know I came here with gifts, but I've had 25 foster homes in my life. And he was only 22. You know, those things, they break it, you know, a kid's psyche. I have to trust that there's a path and a reason why, you know, they choose to come in the way they do. But I have no doubt that if he can get his act together, he's got a lot to offer. These kids do. They teach me. They teach me all the time. It's pretty amazing. But all they really want is somebody to recognize them and support them.
It's so simple, really.
It's simple.
And it's like you can be their fairy godmother, you know. Bling. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. But it's a lot. It's amazing how many people can't remember. I think it's helpful for it to be another starseed, but I talk to well-meaning social workers over the years and they go, we love them, but we don't understand them. I said, but don't you remember what it was like to be a child like that? And they go, no, I really don't. And it shocks me every time, but they just don't. I mean, there are people in those industries that are good people, but they're asleep or they're not, you know, they're not starseeds. They don't see the bigger picture, you know, a lot of them obviously, but. You know, I don't know what, I've always wondered what the percentage of starseeds were in the population. And I've heard different times from different sources, maybe about 25%, but I don't have any way of knowing, you know.
According to an intel, I had 750 million or something.
Yeah. And
like
I maybe
three quarters of a billion or something. It's like about 10% of the earth.
Yeah. Maybe it's increasing, you know, with everything that's going on, but, I just see the vaccines, I see what they do. I wasn't awake when my girls were growing up. I had them vaccinated. I got vaccinated. I didn't know. I really didn't know. Now I do. And I went from thinking that it was a, you know, some were good and some were bad. And I kept digging and digging and it finally pulled me to a point where I spent probably 30 hours researching for an article for a new website coming up for Corey Good that it was a disclosure website and I knew it would be a big task, but I did. It ended up being 33 pages. I said, I got good news and bad news. The good news is I'm done with the article. The bad news is it's 33 pages and I can't take anything out because it was all the questions were answered that everybody had been asking me. And, you know, there was no point in putting something out there and not putting all the information out. We found a way to do it. But I heard from so many parents, you know, in California here where they have mandatory vaccinations. I really feel for these people. These parents are under, they choose not to vaccinate their kids. And a lot of the parents I know, they're starseeds. And I know their kids are starseeds and they are fighting it tooth and nail, but they're getting one young mother, her father is an allopathic doctor and he turned her in to the state for not vaccinating. And her fiance, who she has her little boy with, he's a lawyer. He sued her. I mean, these people get, it's amazing what they're up against, you know, but I've gotten some really heartwarming things from people that, you know, I know that not everybody has the time to sit down and do that kind of research, but I backed it up with, you know, sources. I was very careful to back everything up, and that's why I wanted it to be good, solid information. And that's why it's, to me, it's not just the surface population seeing that vaccinations have their, you know, cons or their things that happen. There's a bigger picture here. And it is definitely that they are trying to dumb down the starseeds. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And I see that it's a very pressing issue. And that's why I keep speaking out about it.
Well, it's an issue, it's interesting, I have received spiritual guidance over the years, you know, through automatic writing, and so one of the things that they said to me ages ago was the awakening will actually start as a result of the vaccination scandal, that that's the catalyst. That some kind of vaccine will be put out that people will really see right through immediately, you know. That will be the beginning of the turnaround. You know, that's the issue of the denouement of it all.
Yeah, I believe that. And there's also nanobots. There's so many things they can put in those vaccines. We are so susceptible to whatever they decide to stick in there and don't tell us about that it, and you know, the move here in the U.S. is definitely to make it mandatory. I mean, they're just moving in that direction, but I don't think it's going to happen now because I have seen people start to wake up more and more and more. And, you know, it gets heated out there. But I see groups of parents banding together and supporting each other on it. And it really, you know, does my heart good. There's many, many hospitals that vaccinate and don't tell the parents. And, there was a group of nurses, prenatal nurses that formed a group and got together and spoke out to blow the whistle because they said they were so tired of having these tiny 4-pound babies come in that were finally breathing on their own. And then they come in and go get them vaccinated and they go, but they're not going to be able to breathe. We just got them breathe. Too bad. Tent them and get them vaccinated. And that was what their directive was. And if they didn't do it, they lost their jobs. And many times they said the babies died and they had to go tell the parents it was just born premature. It didn't work out. They never knew it was the vaccines. There's a very dark side to this that it's astounding. Doing the research, I would have to put it down and take a day off because it would be so disgusting to me. Some of the things that I discovered that I just couldn't, I just had to take a break. But I just kept doing it. And it's not just the kids. It's the veterans. They're horrifically vaccinated for things, you know, regardless of whether they're allergic to something or whatever. But, you know, the trend is going towards health. It's going towards wellness and prevention, not vaccines are based on fear. They're based on everybody being afraid of the next thing they're going to get. They do a good job of that. And when you, I tried to be a look through the eyes of a young parent who's not necessarily awakened, but is trying to find out about the controversy. And you look on there and it's just page after page after page of government, you know, the CDC and all the government agencies out there pushing this. You know, there's no way they can get the truth without getting somehow into the alternative media. And a lot of them don't know where to go. So I was trying to give them something to go on. And I firmly believe in the immune system and letting our bodies, you know, our bodies, if they're treated well, they heal themselves. Vaccines are a generational issue because when the mothers are vaccinated, their antibodies that they pass on through their breast milk to the babies are cut way down, compromised. And so the babies aren't getting that either. And it just continues to roll downhill. But the last, I looked, the CDC here had 231 new vaccines in the works. So they're not going to stop. They, without being forced to, they're just coming up with list after list of the next one that somebody needs to get because they're going to be afraid they're going to get the next big disease. You know, so hopefully the waking up will crack that open. I am seeing it, and it is very, very encouraging. It really is.
And we're also going to need a way of detoxing from all this crap that has been jagged into us.
Well, what's happening?
Have you been, have you studied much about that?
Well, there's now it's becoming solution oriented. It's not just about scaring people. There's no point in putting something out there and making people feel helpless. There's, you know, you need to have solutions as well. And there are a lot of detoxing, things coming out. They vary, but there's places to go where you can get information on it. The aluminum and the mercury are the biggest ones, that they need to get out. But heavy metal detoxes, I use an herb that I have a Chinese herbalist mix up here that I use. And, I know, I don't really have a list prepared here, but there are, if you look out there at some of the different, websites for natural health, they do have a lot of things that, and a growing number available for people. And it is possible to do that. And I know that, some of the doctors that were really doing great work at detoxing these kids with autism, they were bringing kids back from full-blown autism to normal functioning, and they were killed. That the list of doctors that have been murdered over this is horrendous, just horrendous. And but that's what's happening, or they're boosting their immune systems. The vaccines they destroy your natural ability of your immune system to work the way it was meant to, because they put this false thing in there to try to make you immune to the disease, but the vaccine doesn't last. It has to keep being given and given, and eventually it just keeps breaking down and getting weaker and weaker. And the studies they've done, and there's quite a few of them, of groups of kids that were vaccinated and groups of kids that weren't, by far the kids that weren't vaccinated were healthier. And yet you'll hear parents on the opposite end parrot that, you know, these kids aren't vaccinated, they're going to get all of our kids sick. You know, it's their fault. And it's the pointing the finger. And when you think about it, it's common sense. If their kids are vaccinated, what are they worried about? If they're so healthy and protected, then why are they?
Exactly.
Really doesn't make any sense, but they're not thinking. They're just parroting what they've heard.
Yeah.
You just kind of get a thick skin.
And triceratops are a big problem in the national parks.
Yeah. I know. If people could stop and for a minute and just think it through, and there's that maniacal need to be right. It's not about the truth for them. It's about being right. They're invested in that. And I'm always willing to give people additional information, but I won't debate with anybody, because the ones that want to debate they're not interested, really. They're just trying to argue, you know, so it's counterproductive. But I do think it is important to have solutions that come up in our food. You know, until we get our food cleaned up and our air and our water, we can't keep our immune system boosted where they need to be either. It's all one big problem. It's not a bunch of little threads. It's one big thread. It's all the toxins, you know, that we live with that hopefully are changing. You can get those GMOs out of there. the immunology is not that, that came about, the field of immunology came about when they started giving vaccines. That has nothing to do with our immune systems. The field of immunology is studying how the vaccines react in the body. That's it. So those people doing that research, they're not, it's astounding how many people in those fields and our medical professionals have no idea how the immune system works. It's never been focused on because that's not the bigger plan. When you look at the bigger picture, you start to realize the layers just keep going and going and going. And up at the top, there's another whole layer. And those way up at the top, this is a well laid out plan. This is not a coincidence by any means. But right now, when you're dealing with the surface population, that are unawakened, you're just trying to get the main facts out to them. I didn't cover all of that in the vaccine article because it was too much. It would have overloaded them. You know? So I just stuck to the facts down here.
So yeah, a couple of times you've referred to the surface population, which implies that there is a non-surface population above or below, yes?
Yes.
So
yes.
Who are you exactly talking about? Lay it out for us, Georgia.
Well, I'm talking about the very top of the story, which is where I always go first, and that is the reptilian influence that came in here and you know, took control of the planet, and a lot of the elite families at the very top in those bloodlines, a large majority of those families are reptilian hybrids, and they're very carefully schooled and mind controlled themselves, actually, and their game plan is power and money and depopulation, and they do it at whatever they have to do to maintain that is fine. They don't view people as the rest of us as being anything more than basically cash cows, workhorses to generate income for them, and we're expendable. We're very expendable to them. And so they don't worry about those, you know, they don't care about our well-being, and they are the people that carry the purse strings. The people in charge of that are the ones that pretty much have control of everything because they can cut off your supplies from high up to your food or anything else you need, and your sense of safety and well-being and just being able to exist. So people fall into it. They don't realize that they're being used and manipulated like that, but it's very real. And they're, I think they're being taken out of power, but this has been going on for, as you know, for a very, very long time. And they're not going to let go of that power easily. And the way to get them out of that power is for more and more people to wake up. And until they do, they're doing this in plain sight right under their noses over and over. It reaches so far into every aspect, into the medical industry, the, you know, the schools, the psychological industry, any of those kind of things that we just grow up thinking is the way life is and this is how it operates. Their hand is in all of those. And when you start to wake up, you start to see, somehow you start to see and you can't go back. And you see one layer and then behind that you see the next one and the next one. And it's mind boggling. It's true.
And that's when you get to the point of like, wow, you know, I thought the government were bad. Oh, I thought the Bilderbergers were bad. Have we lost? Oh, we've lost some people. Oh dear, here we go. There's my Okay, we're back. Ah, so they don't like us talking about the reptilians. Good. Let's talk about the reptilians.
Apparently not. I didn't touch a thing.
No, I think it was mine. It may be the reptilians, but it might be just scheduled maintenance because I complained to them today that I was getting cut off, so they may even be looking at my telephone line.
It's hard to tell, isn't it?
It's hard to tell. I try to be pronoic as opposed to paranoid, like, you know, the universe is out to help me. I've worked with the internet since the 1980s, before it was even the internet. Because it was called JANET, actually, the Joint Academic Network. But it's always suffered this kind of crap, disconnection, you know.
You know, I think all of us experienced this at some level, and you can do a lot by, as we know, by having a positive attitude, but it's, the dark comes up to meet the light sometimes, and it just becomes part of the job, and you just don't let it rattle you, you know, you just keep moving, because I still think that there's a lot of power, even with the vaccines, there's a lot of power in how we view things and how empowered we feel we are. Feeling empowered and is an amazing weapon against this kind of thing. It can remove implants. It can do all kinds of things. If we could really step into our power, we'd be surprised at what we're probably capable of. Are you there?
It's stepping into the power. What that means, though, what that means is turning your focus for what is you're approved of from the outside to the inside. Mm-hmm. Did I word that right? For your self-approval. You have to approve yourself. And once you can do that, it's like, I don't know, it's a bit like being a mains extension plug that plugs into itself and you still get energy out of it.
Yes. And staying out of fear. Fear is a portal. I've experienced it so many times. That was my big, huge lesson in protecting myself from things like this. When you're not in fear, there's nothing for them to feed on. And fear and love are at opposite ends of the spectrum. You can't be loving and in fear at the same time. So if you choose love, it's a verb. Love is a verb, and it's very powerful. And I just go forward. I have a job to do here, and I take it seriously, and I don't give 1 ounce of myself to fear anymore. I just don't. And since I quit doing it, it stopped happening. These annoying things happen, these things, but I never worry about anything bigger, you know. I just don't. And I think a lot of people have adopted that same attitude in the truth movement.
I think we've found all the misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
And although it's not a level of complacency, there's a whole difference between complacency and self-knowledge.
Yeah, it's not complacency at all.
Because complacency is a kind of blinkered view that is like, I'm not looking at the bad people. Hey, doesn't that hour fly fast? We'll be back in a few beats of your heart. Yes, indeed. Welcome back to Journeys with JP. Tonight's journey involves Georgia Kamon. How do you pronounce it, Georgia?
Kamon. Never gets it right. Don't feel bad.
I know. That's why I call myself JP. Because nobody can ever pronounce any of my name properly. So don't bother. Just call me JP. It's less for the brain. And even then they call me PJ. How hard is it? How hard is it to get it round one way? Anyway.
You just can't win.
You can't quit the game either. So, Here we are. So we were talking about vaccines, and you know, one of the things is I noticed about your new president's wife is like, she's like, oh, your vaccines, they are terrible, and we don't give them to our children and things. She's gonna, that's gonna come right up against Big Pharma, isn't it? That's really gonna tickle them in the places they don't want to be tickled.
Yes. Well, I don't know who's watching out for Donald Trump, but with the things he's spoken out about, a lot of people have died for a lot less. I was glad to hear her say that, you know, at least that was a relief. I wouldn't say that I was thrilled he's our president, but you know, you take what you can get on the plus part, and that was definitely
better than the alternative, you know, and you know, one evil at a time, let's just say.
You know, another thing I might point out about the vaccines that a lot of people don't realize is pediatricians, they make most of their income off vaccines. That's what the well baby visits are. And so the pharmaceutical industry gives them bonuses from anywhere from $40,000 to $80,000 bonuses for having as many of their patients, you know, fully vaccinated, not just partially vaccinated. They have to have them fully vaccinated. So that creates a huge conflict of interest if some of them step in there. Some of them probably believe that they're good, and some of them are starting not to, but they're stuck, you know. So there's something cracking open in the medical industry too, but that speaks to integrity as well, you know. And that's a big one. That's a real big one, because they're the doctors that see all the babies.
Yeah, I think there's been a kind of a sense that the medical now industry, you know, it's, it used to be the medical profession, but now it's the medical industry. And yeah, it's back what you were saying, you know, that this is entirely the reptilian attitude towards human beings, is that they're like cattle, and it's the same as vets giving injections to the cows.
Yes, it's really not different, you know. And some of these doctors do believe this, but I watched there's a popular show here in the U.S. It's called The Doctors, and I don't watch it. I rarely watch TV, but I have seen them before, and there was a clip that's been going around that one guy's they're young doctors. One guy's a pediatrician, and they were having a panel on vaccines, and they were so ill-informed, I was embarrassed for them, and they tried to make a statement about vaccines, you know, being pro-vaccine, and some people in the audience had really done their homework, and they disputed it so badly that one of the doctors, I've never seen anybody on TV pitch a temper tantrum. I thought he was going to start crying. He literally pitched a temper tantrum like a 5-year-old. He blew up, and he was using everything he could, you know, saying, you know, you act like we don't care about these kids. We care about these kids. If you quit pointing fingers and attacking and find a way to work on this together, and we're going, nobody attacked you. They just gave information that clearly disputed yours in such a big way, but I realized that they don't know either. And this guy's running a TV show, you know, and giving it out to a national audience. He did more for the anti-vaccine group than anybody else has, because he made himself look like an idiot. And I think people are thinking, if this is a sample of what the attitude is out there, then no wonder there's a problem. But the pharmaceutical industry owns and runs the medical schools. So the doctors are taught what the pharmaceutical industry wants them to know. And that's another thing people don't realize. And that even creeps into schools like Harvard. They've been called on the carpet for some of their testing. The testing for vaccines is very slim to none. A lot of it's done, we're guinea pigs, especially when you put all those vaccines together. They didn't have any tests, you know, done to see what that would do to add all those vaccines in at one time. At 2 years old, your 2 year old is expected to have had 42 separate injections by 2 years old. And that's just 2 years old. And it just keeps on going. The Gardasil which is for cervical cancer, which we all know everybody's dying of cervical cancer. They're giving that to the young girls, the prepubescent girls. Now they're taking it down to babies. They're talking about giving it to babies, and they're giving it to boys, where I don't know why they think cervical cancer is helpful for boys, but it just never stops, and people just keep blindly going in there and getting their kids vaccinated because they believe that person in the white coat. And they've got to start thinking for themselves. And we're used to expecting someone else to do our thinking for us. And that's not going to work anymore. People are finally starting to understand that this election is part of it. It finally woke people up. They're mad. They're upset. But at least they're not sitting in their armchair stuck on reality TV and going, everything will be okay. You know, so I guess everything serves a purpose.
You never know what the effect is going to be.
No.
We were all dreading that Hillary was going to win because we could see the mainstream media and just everybody was slanted against Trump. But it was like, we don't really want Trump either, but he's like, better than the alternative. So, and then it feels like they've completely been defeated and deflated, haven't they? The whole, Bush cabal and everybody's like running after Soros and stringing him up in the street by his,
There's a lot of information going around about that and it's hard to tell, but I dig and I try to get to the truth and I look for threads of truth and sources from, you know, that I trust. And I just make my own decisions and think for myself. But I know that there was a movement within the military and the FBI, at least that, the positive faction of it that wasn't corrupt, that had it with Hillary. They'd had it and they were not going to allow them to come in and rig an election and steal the election again. And, I think that that's probably one of the biggest reasons Hillary didn't win, because I think they had made threats of that it was not going to be pretty if it continued that way. But I'm not happy about Trump either, but I would rather have a guy with absolutely no filter than someone who's got a list a mile long of, you know, people she's assassinated.
Corpses.
Yeah.
Corpses laying on the floor, cold and dead, with lampshade marks in the back of their brain.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, pay
Vince
no
Foster,
attention.
Folks. There was a film about this, isn't it?
In the corner. There were people that finally there was so much coming out in WikiLeaks that they were saying, well, you know, what politician isn't corrupt? Come on. I mean, she's a woman. She's had a hard time. I consider her, you know, a rock star that she would stand up to all that she's had to go through. I'm just, you know, what are you going to do? I shake my head and go, you have no idea. No idea. But there's a lot of very, very angry, disgusted women in the U.S. that are considered themselves very intelligent, very educated, very progressive, and they are appalled that we have a president who has, you know, been an idiot in speaking out about women and minorities and things like that, but they don't see how dark it was on the other side. They have no idea what they're dealing with. So, you know, I honestly think that if they finally come out with some real good hard evidence on the pedophilia, the child trafficking, the satanic cults, and they tie that into the Clintons and the Bushes and the thing, that's going to be the thing that I see that's going to absolutely rock people to their core. That they, once they see that the information they're getting is good and they see the truth, that's when I think people are really going to be jarred to their core. It's a subject you can barely bring up. It upsets people so badly. And it should. I mean, any normal person would be appalled, but it's horrible. It's horrible.
So from my starseed connections, and from what I understand, the sequence goes the arrests, the finances, and then the contact. Is that what you have?
That's kind of what I heard. Yeah. You know, the financial, system that people fear money for sure. And then people can't look past the pedophilia, you know, the child trafficking at the level that goes to when they find out who's involved in that, how many big names around the globe, not just the U.S.
Yeah.
It's going to be so jarring to them.
And your J.P. Morgans and Chases and all of these people, all of these companies and the people that run them, these are all connected in with this ring.
Yes,
either
and they
controlling
all
back, or being controlled.
They all back Hillary. People just, you know, it's just going to take, I to wake the masses up, it's going to take a real shock. I really feel like that's the case, you know. It's going to really be hard. And I am, and many other, you know, light workers and star seeds on the planet are readying ourselves to help keep things stable when it happens, because it's already happening. And this has scratched the surface of what's below there that people don't know. Just this election alone has thrown people into anxiety and depression, and they're snapping, you know, and it's going to get worse before it gets better as it deconstructs. But, I have a very positive attitude, and that's why I'm not worried sick about it, because I realize it's part of a bigger plan, and I know it's coming down. I know it's coming down. And I'm dedicated to making sure it happens.
Indeed. And the thing is more than knowing it's coming down, is we've been preparing for it. We've been learning our butts off how to run economies without a central organizing bank system, how to create lets, how to, use tokenized barter systems. All different kind of money exchange and energy exchange systems that don't require approval from the Vatican.
Yes.
Or the Rothschilds or some other usurper who is just stealing our energy. And it's amazing, you know, when you get a group of people together who are working together with no tax, with just administration fees, the money just the pool of money just kind of boils up. It's like bread. It rises instead of being drained and everybody's in debt and doubt. Then
we're stepping into our sovereignty is what we're doing.
That's right.
The Ubuntu movement, that's a wonderful movement. They're making leaps and bounds. There's so many things behind the scenes that a lot of people don't realize are going on, positive things.
Oh yeah, we're working on it. We're working on it. This very show, this very conversation comes to you courtesy of the Ubuntu, free operating system that runs better than Windows.
Yeah, we could get out from under these technology giants. I live in Seattle here. Amazon alone, employs 20,000 people here, and that's not all the other,
and
you know,
that doesn't include their drone army.
No, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's amazing, you know, to get people weaned off of their electronics to the point where they've got to have the next best, big, fastest thing, which is what happens with these kids, you know. It's worrisome, but Rome wasn't built in a day and it won't come down in a day. It's a process. It's not an event, but it is happening, and I'm seeing evidence of it all the time, and it's growing and expanding. And all those of us, and there's many, many of us out there who have been working so hard because we have that inner fire that we came in here with, and we won't get over it. We won't get over it. That's why we're here. So we're dedicated to it. We're going to leave it better than we came here, right?
I certainly hope so. hopefully we'll have tidied up those pesky reptilians that we came here to tidy up all those millions of years ago, and finally, you know, dust our hands off, mission accomplished. You know, they've all been sent to their little Jurassic planet on the other side of the galaxy where they can't hurt anybody, and they can play with their own tails and chase each other and all that stuff. And humanity can just like figure out how fantastic they are.
Yeah. And we haven't known. We're being shown how we can be. We don't know. We've never been that way.
Yeah.
Even the divine masculine feminine, the balance in those energies, we've never had that mirrored to us. We really don't know. It's all new territory.
Absolutely. And I have to say, it's great fun. It's great fun being a pioneer, you know.
Well, you know, we signed up for it.
Yeah, well, you know.
But...
You wade through the marsh, you know, you can have the party at the other end. It's good fun. So everyone can come and join us.
For sure.
Yeah.
Your adventure spirit, you got plenty going on here.
Yeah. There's plenty to look at. And you know, one of the things is working out how we can relate, you know, all of the things that we assume. I mean, number one, the day. That's the first assumption that we have is the day. The, you know, this 24-hour thing. What if it wasn't like that? What if, you know, in the next 6 months, Nibiru whizzes past and the planet starts wobbling around and we never have a fully dark or fully light period of time?
We probably don't need that 24 hours anyway. You know, when you stop and think about all the things that we normally do in a day that are wrapped around the system that we have to live in, and that if there was another way to do that, and we had the extra time, we could go do what we needed to do to have livelihoods and live, but we could barter and we could, work on, you know, in teams collectively for the betterment of a community, the extra time we had to actually sit and create or do things that fed us, which in turn feeds the collective, people would be in shock of what to do with all that time. I mean, we spend a lot of time just surviving on this planet, a lot of time working for the elite.
That's our soul.
Yeah.
Your soul has a certain amount of time where your body is useful. And, you know, they talk about selling your soul to the devil or stealing somebody else's soul. It's quite literal because all your soul has to interact is the time that it has here on this planet. So if somebody's taking your time, you know, they're literally offending your soul.
Yes.
Very interesting way of looking at it.
That's absolutely true. Getting people to, it's like opening up all the cages at the zoo and the animals stay in the cage because they don't know what to do.
Yes.
They don't know what to do. It's unsure out there, you know. But these younger people coming in, these star seeds, they get it. They're looking for something like that already. They're the ones thinking about the conscious communities they want to build and all that. They realize that they're looking at their parents and they're going, I don't know how we got here, but I don't want to be here. This is not what I'm signed up for. So, you know, they'll come in and change those things. That's what they're there for.
Yeah, to be the change that we expected to find when we got here that isn't there yet. We have to sprog the children that are going to build it for the rest of the for the rest of their life.
Yep. We're just supporting them. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the elders of return, you know? That's how I look at it. I'm just helping them navigate things here and help show them who they are and support them. Mm-hmm. I was going to add, too, on the break, looked up Pleiadian lineup dates for anybody that wants them, but they happen twice a year, and they're the 16th to the 20th in May and in November. So during those times, if you feel you have a Pleiadian tie in some way, that's when the energy's amped up that you can communicate or, ask, seek help, whatever, that's a good time to do it.
I'd love a Pleiadian tie. What color do you think it would be?
Well,
I'm just kidding.
Violet and blue. That's what I'm telling you. Violet and blue. That seems to be Pleiadian colors.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but it is. That fits for me. You know, I love violet.
Yeah.
I have one of these multicolored light LED light bulbs.
Yeah.
It comes with a little control box. And I use muscle checking to test which button people use, or you know, would be the right frequency for them.
Uh-huh.
And I'm pretty spot on with it. And the one I get for myself is a violet. So
wow.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, violet light. Using it even in a light bulb. Some naturopaths use it like to clear sinuses and things. There's something about the color violet. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Very healing.
It's a nice frequency, and it's up there in the B, isn't it? The B zone, which is Pisces, which is where I'm at as well. So,
yeah, mm-hmm.
I think it's 28 degrees Pisces. I'm born on the 18th, but it's right. It's like right on this equinoctial cusp thing.
Yeah,
that violet, magenta-y, you know, just going on to the next octave kind of color.
Yeah, color and sound are, that's coming up frequency more and more and more too for healing and things like that. It must be, I'm sure it's all connected.
Oh, absolutely. I have a regular guest, Shari Edwards. Oh, she's also a host on my station. I've known her since 1995. I met her in Glastonbury and she gave a lecture about using acoustic sounds to heal.
Yeah.
And she's got a regular show, or she had a regular show on Revolution Radio as well. But she's got her own regular show on Horse Spirit, and it's fascinating what she can do. And not only can you can diagnose just about any chemical imbalance, any emotional imbalance, personality imbalances, everything through the use of the understanding of how frequencies work in the body.
I think it's the wave of the future for healing.
Absolutely.
And I see a lot of healers, well, not a lot, but there's certain healers that I see more and more are receiving information or remembering from past lives things that they weren't taught, but that have become very effective. It's just come in for them, you know. It's like they've woken up and remembered it, and they're not techniques that are taught anywhere. They're just something that came into their knowing. So I think that's happening too. We're starting to remember as the veil thins.
And indeed, the veil has been, I think, very thin since Halloween this year. It's maybe getting thinner every year. What do you think?
I think so too. I keep wanting it to get thinner and thinner, but then I'm thinking you better be careful what you ask for.
Yeah, who wants a fat veil though?
That's like a Pandora's box sometimes, so, you know, there's a certain amount of trust I put in my higher self. But I depend on my higher self for a lot of things. I mean, people depend too much on channeling all the time and things like that. We need to start to learn to depend more on ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I talk a lot to mine, and it just seems to be, it's like, you know, I've got like, there's this dog who there's all these beings who kind of hang out, really. It's quite nice.
Yeah, I can just imagine.
Yeah, one of them was a wolfhound, which was, you know, a dog that was, she was a prize dog, you know, winner of the dog shows and everything.
Wow.
And
That's a big dog.
Yeah, big dog. And, so luckily when she licks me, it doesn't stink or anything, but, in her life, she was very smelly, you know, she's a big smelly old dog. And I don't like the smell of dogs. So I'm very happy she's a ghost dog, and she just wanted to be with me because she enjoyed my energy. So it's really nice.
I know. That's great. I know I had a galactic whale come in of all things. I was in a sound healing, thing a friend of mine was doing with singing bowls and a keyboard, and I was meditating, and this whale came in, and it it's never left me. It's with me all the time. It's bizarre. I went, what does this mean? I have no idea. It's very real to me, and I feel the energy of it. I didn't know they had whales that swam through the universe, through the stars, like it was the ocean, you know, but I even looked it up online, cosmic or galactic whales, and it's amazing how many people have been hit with that, because there's beautiful imagery people have done, you know, paintings and things.
Now, that's fascinating, because I heard a long time ago, you know, somebody said, consider the space is more like an ocean.
Yeah, and that's what it felt like. I saw it swimming, and it was dark, you know, like water would be dark, except the stars were sparkling. It was like pinpricks in a black sky, and this whale was so graceful. It just glided through the universe. It was beautiful, beautiful. I don't know what it means. Maybe it's my power animal. Maybe I have a galactic power animal. I don't know.
Maybe you're an incarnation of the dream of this great whale.
I don't know. Swimming
through the cosmos.
I don't know, but it's beautiful. I could get somebody to paint me a picture of it. I'd love it.
Well, there you go. There's a challenge to all the artists out there in Radioland.
Yeah.
Draw the cosmic whale.
Maybe I should do it myself. I don't know.
Yeah. Yes. There we go. Crow777 on YouTube talks about space is suspected to be a liquid. There we go.
You know, when you get visions like that, it's the feeling that goes behind it. There's a feeling with it that is like a very peaceful, very powerful, peaceful. I don't know. I can't. It's hard to put into words. You know, sometimes it just aren't words, but it's there all the time. Though it's like a constant companion for me since that happened.
Yeah, well, that's really that. I mean, it gives you that galactic sense that once you've got that, because that's space, right? Holding space, you know, that's a frequency. So if you look at, say, Earth issues from that perspective, you've got a very non-dual way of examining that situation.
Yeah, and sometimes things come in for you to learn that way, archetypally. A lot of things are archetypal.
Mm-hmm. So, meanwhile, back on planet Earth and the surface. Yeah, we were talking about the surface and the hollow people, or the hollow Earth people, down under Mount Shasta, you were saying, yes?
Yeah, well, you know, I just know they meet in Mount Shasta, and I don't know what all that involves, but I know, you know, some people do have memory of going in there and seeing people. I, for some reason, don't, but I do have those pinpricks on my hand afterwards, and I know I was there. People say they saw me. I don't know what all we're converging on down there, but, you know, I'm sure it's interesting, and I know it has to do with the crystals, the crystal grids on the planet. I know that that's a big part of it. My work with crystals, I've expanded it to I'm just constantly aware of them, and when I go to Arkansas here in the U.S. to the crystal mines there, it's a powerful area because they're, you know, the Native Americans used to do their ceremonies around there until, of course, the white man came in and, you know, to the Crystal Springs and built bathhouses over them, which is so sacrilegious. But, you know, there's just a lot of power in that area, a lot of crystal power. And I remember one time going up with a group of people to the top of a mountain, which is considered one of the mines where you can dig for crystals, and I've been there many times before, but this time it's like somebody had just come in the night before and dumped buckets and buckets and buckets as far as you could see of tiny crystals all over the ground, and no human did it. They must have put them there for us, you know. I don't know, but we do a lot of, you know, powerful energy work on those places like that, and the Native American energy is very strong there, very strong. So
what I was very fascinated by earlier on, we were talking, and you were talking about a bunch of crystals that were specifically commissioned to be dived. A diver was specially commissioned to go to one of the deepest parts of this mine and pick up a whole bunch of very, very tiny little crystals. Now, from what I understand, that would create a group of quantum entangled crystals that were so used, they would be like a football team that played together. They're so used to each other. And then you divide them, you put them all over the planet, and they're still connected to each other, quantum entangled like.
Right.
So what's the deal with them?
Well, they also, what they did, you know, remember I said they took them into the Queen's Chamber in the Giza Pyramid, and they left them for 48 hours, and they were charged up with energy in that chamber, and the people that have them now, they're starting to find that some of them are growing on their own, which is bizarre. I mean, they're literally growing little limbs on themselves. They're very small, and I've taken them and put them in like water and drank the water. I, you know, because they're small and sharp, it's not a good idea to swallow them because, you know, it hurts yourself. But, I've also been told that they can, if you were in a life-threatening situation where you were in an ambulance or rushing to a hospital and you didn't know if you'd get there, you can swallow one and save your life. And it's not one of those things I really wanted to try out, but, that was told to me. And, it's amazing the consciousness of these crystals and the all around the globe where they've been, I say planted, but it could be tossed in a stream, put on the ground, you know, anywhere. That it's all done intuitively, and it's done by star seeds that fill hold to do it. And I've planted them many places, many, many places over the years around, you know, just where I would always take a handful, and wherever I happened to go, I would, you know, and they're very, very powerful. So, you know, if you wanted to learn more about them, because there's a lot of information, you can go to the website starseedhotline.com, and it will tell it, there's a section in there called the Vault of Knowledge, and it will tell you all about them, where they came from, just the Pleiadian lineup. It'll tell you all of that. And it's, this is information that has been, it was held on to for a very long time. And then it was just put out about, oh gosh, I'd say 7 or 8 years ago. They put the website up. They said it's time. And so they put the website up. It's time to start talking about it. So they started, being more public about it, but it's been around for a very, very long time. And these crystals, that all came about in the Giza Pyramid back in the early 80s. I want to say 1983, maybe something like that. But, there's a lot more information to it that there's a lot of reading to do, and it's fascinating. It really is. Really is.
That's
so I go down there, sit in a bath, you know, of crystal water.
Oh, wow.
And can't go in more than 20 minutes. You can't believe what it pulls out of your body. I mean, there's a ring around the bathtub from sitting in just the water that runs over the springs, you know, the crystal beds, the natural springs there. They drink it all week, you know, so I've got it going inside, outside. You could spontaneously combust by the time you get out of there, but it's great, you know. It really amps you up.
So it's a bit of a bottle brush kind of cleansing.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. It's
bottle,
amazing.
Bottle brush and Dettol. So.
Make this stuff up. You never know where you'll be. You know, I discovered this. I didn't know anything about it. Several years ago, and I was digging for truth, as I always do, researching, and my head had just about as much packed into it as could have, and I had one night, I went, I've got to just unplug, and I'm just got to do something mindless. I know I'll watch TV. So I turned the TV on. What's on? National Geographic talking about these selenite crystal caves in Mexico that they discovered 10 years before that, that are like the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, those tree trunk sized selenite crystals that they drained the water out of, and the miners went in there, and that was so hot, a couple of them literally basically cooked to death. It was incredibly hot in there. And then they started talking about a team that came in from the U.S., and there was one woman on the team. She was the first woman, first American woman, and the first non-Mexican miner to go, or she was a geologist to go in there. And she had a website, so I had to grab my laptop again and look it up, and I was thinking, wow, I wonder what the resonation would be for those crystals in that area. You know, I wish I had more information. I saw her website, but it was bleeding together. Something was wrong. All the words were bleeding together. The only thing I could make out was her email address. So I just sent her an email, and I asked her if she had any more information on it, and I sent it, and I never really thought much about it. Didn't think I'd hear back. I heard back the next day, and she said, I was told when I put this website up 10 years ago, 3 people would contact me, and you're the third, so I'll tell you anything you want to know, however much you want to know. And she sent me a chunk of it. She told me about the Starseed Hotline and about the crystal, you know, the small crystals, and hooked me up with Lavendar. And by the time she was done, I had that was the catalyst for me into my next layer of awakening. And it shot me out into the galaxy. And I've really never come back. but it's The synchronicity of how those things come about are amazing. We've all experienced it, but they're meant to happen. You know, that's how things work. I find that, you know, people constantly come to me and say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. I don't know my purpose. I went, just sit back and relax and don't resist, and it'll come to you. You don't have to go look for it. That's how it happens. You don't really have to go look. It comes looking for you. So, you know, that's how we find our purposes here, I think.
I've always found, you know, because a lot of people come to me for, you know, this the reading. And in general, the way you find out your life purpose is the thing that you love.
Yes.
And it's the thing that you are drawn to do that you can't not do.
Yes, that's the big picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if everybody does that, no matter what it is, then there's harmony.
Exactly. That's what I tell these kids, you know, what is it you're good at? What are you really interested in? Because if you're really interested in it, you're probably going to be good at it. You know, you're good, you're drawn to the things that are your natural gifts, and that's what you came here to do. So that's absolutely true. You know, people want to keep looking and looking, but that's that part of that being a verb. You know, being is a verb. It's not doing anything. It has its own purpose, and it's actually very powerful. It's learning to just be and let the information come to you. That's the best advice I can give people. And sometimes your purpose isn't one thing. Sometimes it's different things at different times, and that's something to keep in mind too.
Yeah. Depends on your raise, depends on your level of evolution, and with, you know, sometimes you plan to evolve in certain ways which give these certain expressions which you would just enjoy doing.
Yeah.
For instance, like weird thing, I enjoy recording things. Ever since I was like 15, ever since I had a cassette recorder, I've enjoyed recording things. And that's what I do.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all. Now, it's all I do every day is talk, record, and edit. And sometimes, you know, people ask me to talk without me having to record it, but I record it anyway.
Well, it serves a big purpose, and it's really helpful. If it wasn't for people like you out there, alternative radio wouldn't exist. And once I discovered it, I was like, wow, you know, this is so helpful to have somebody that can do something like this. There was one gal, she's in Hawaii, and she did the 2012 Awakening. She started up the thing where she would publish different people's articles, whoever sent in articles regarding the truth and the awakening and that kind of thing. And she operates on a shoestring, and she's had a real tough time lately. She'd sent a thing out, said she could barely even feed her dog. Her computer was broken. I mean, the whole thing. And a lot of people donated because we got a lot out of it. You know, we got, her website was the first one I landed on when I was awakening, and trying to, get good information was hard to find. And so that was a big gift that she gave. And, that's how I feel about all you guys out there that do that, because we have to go somewhere, you know, because the mainstream media, we all know, is not the place to go to get the truth for anything. So
we have at Vol Spirit Radio a vast library of archives going back to all of the shows that Dave and I and Tracy and Muggsy did all the way back to 2010. And even further with Rebecca Jernigan's. So we've got like some of the most classic alternative radio archives forever.
And I try to keep lists of those and give people places to go that are reliable, yeah. Because you know, when you're starting out, you don't know where to go. And you want to get frustrated with people that aren't awake, but then you know, it's when we've been in this industry, this truth movement, and digging for as long as we have, it's easy to forget what it's like coming in cold, and they have no idea where to go or where to look. They don't know. So,
or where to start.
Yeah.
Where do you start?
I don't know. I guess you just get curious about one thing and you just start looking. You just have to start looking. And you know, there's convoluted information out there in the alternative media, just like there is anywhere, and you have to use discernment. But I really think that many of us here working in that came in with that sixth sense of claircognizance. That sense of knowing, you know, years ago, you'd say, they go, how do you know? I go, I don't know. I just know. And you could see their eyes rolling in their head going, okay, she just knows. But then it started being spoken about. And then I heard the term claircognizance. I hadn't really heard it referred to that way, but I think we're given that guidance system to help navigate these things. And it might not go down to the finest detail, but it definitely gets the big picture. You know, you can just skim over something, and you know, it's a feeling you have, you know. And it's really, really hard to convince somebody who hasn't felt that that's real. But once you've felt it, you know. You just know, you know, just like any other extra sense.
That's the thing. You can think all kinds of rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're feeling something, that's true, you know.
Yes.
When you feel, you know what it feels like to be standing on top of a building looking down. There's, you know, there are feelings, and feelings never lie to you. They are telling you what is going on in real time.
I have a saying. I do most of my thinking now from the neck down. Because I do. That's where all the good information comes in. The rest, the brain's good for some road information and organizing and things, but it doesn't get you very far. And it's sometimes the people that I've noticed that I know that aren't awake, are very, very intelligent people. And it's not that you can't be awake and intelligent. It's not that. They are so dependent on their brain, you know, their IQs that they have gotten to a point that they're so certain they know everything from an IQ point of view that they shoot themselves in the foot because they can't see beyond that to expand out. They're just, it's, it's almost become a, you know, a albatross for him.
It's a funny thing. Here's the thing. 90% of the body exists outside of the brain, yet it's the 10% of the brain that rules most people's lives.
Yeah.
That's analogous to the 90% of people who do the work for the 10% of the middle class and elites.
Yes.
Do you see the analogy here?
Yes, I sure do. I sure do.
The heart is in the 90%. That's all I'm saying.
I wrote a blog on emotional intelligence because there's a lot of people are so trained in thinking your IQ from your brain is the only intelligence, but it's not. And I've known CEOs of companies who were brilliant intellectually, but they couldn't fight their way out of a paper bag to have a relationship with somebody, you know, and missing that component and their spiritual intelligence. And, you know, there's many different kinds of intelligence. And if you don't include all of them, you've left some big parts out. But like you were mentioning earlier, today about when you work with a client, you ask them to use the first thing that pops into their head. That's, I think, how you have to start to develop your intuition is by learning to trust that, because that is always the hit. That's always the one.
Yep. It's there first.
And before your brain kicks in.
And it's really very efficient. You know, if you've got a kind of, I like efficiency kind of brain, or mind, or beingness, then it really makes sense to listen to this voice over the voice of your little thinky mind, monkey head, which just chatters away and, you know, needs a bit of duct tape because it's gone.
Yeah. All of the, you know, the quiet spaces in between is where the real information comes in, but you have to get quiet to hear it. You can't hear it when you're in motion and you've constantly got something going on. That's really hard. And I, you know, as a healer early on, you know, it's hard to trust yourself, but you do it enough over and over and over and you start to go, wow, this really works. You know, you realize that first hit you get is the hit that you were supposed to get before you started to reason everything out. So, you know, once you do, it becomes a way of life and not a discipline anymore.
And it starts working in your favor. Then you know, then you get pronoid. it's about learning to trust that you're not going to be let down by the universe, by your soul, it gets to a point when you do see it. You know, it's like parkour. I still can't get it. I still couldn't possibly do the parkour thing, you know, leaping across rooms and not knowing what's coming next. Just trusting that your body's taking you in the right direction. You know, I haven't got that level of body trust yet. That would be great. But,
I think a lot of people, that scares a lot of people, for sure.
I'm not surprised. It's scared me crapless.
We don't see who we are. We're amazing beings. We're powerful. We are really powerful. If we kicked in everything we had, we wouldn't have a reptilian on this planet left. I mean, people just don't, they go to everywhere else. Then that's all programming. That's just nothing but programming. I really started to look at the things that every time something comes up, I question it. Is that programming? And it's amazing how many times the answer is yes, you know.
So tell me, how would you A, recognize whether that was programming or not? And B, if the answer was yes, what's the response? How do you deal? What's your process with it?
It was like a good recent example is, you know, with all the energies that have been flooding the planet, a lot of us that are sensitive are feeling those, you know, we're feeling them. We're, or feeling waves of fatigue or anxiety or all, you know, headaches, all these strange things as our bodies are acclimating to these energy waves. And I, there's days I just go, I really need to go lay down, but I can't go lay down. It's 2 p.m. You can't lay down at 2 p.m. You should be doing something. You know, this is there, that little voice.
See that little voice. You know what I did? I grabbed that little voice by the neck, twisted it and threw it over my shoulder and said, I'm going to my bed. And
see,
I do
good.
That. I do that stuff and I eat when I'm hungry. And well, actually, I have this other cycle because I live in a old stone cottage with a wood stove. And, so, you know, you light the stove and then you have to keep feeding it every so often. And it, mm-hmm. you know, builds up the heat. And it's only after the second kind of spade full of coal that it actually gets warm enough to cook something on. So this is where my cycle comes in. So I, you know, I have to eat and drink according to that. And then that also makes hot water. So I can then, so I can have a meal and then I can have a bath. And that's my cycle. And it has nothing to do with what time of day it might be. Although it's better in when, you know, to have the stove on when it gets cold at night.
Sounds like you're off the grid.
Almost. I'm working on it. I have a little, solar panel system and some batteries and, figuring out how to keep it all nice and, you know, like instead of having, lights that, you switch on and switch off, you just have, PIRs, the infrared, and just as you walk down the corridor, it just lights up. And when you walk back, it, you know, switches off.
That's great.
Stuff like
that. The big question, do you have a washer and dryer, or a washer, I mean?
Of course I have a washing machine that chews up, you know, a freezer and, you know, stuff like that. But we're working on it. Our scientists are working on conditioning the electricity so that it flows a little more flowingly and with less resistance when it's necessary, and using various magical tools created by one Walt Silver, who makes these things using shungite and coils.
Yeah, that shungite. There's a lot going. You're more schooled in that. I'm realizing more and more just how amazing that is.
It's good stuff. Has William been telling you about it?
I've just been hearing about it from different things and some comments that you've made earlier, you know, just different. I don't even know how I've run into it. Lots of different ways. Actually, it wasn't from William, but, I bought some myself, you know.
Excellent.
Yeah. Living off the grid is great. You know, it's nice to have like a washer because I don't want to be out there with a scrub thing, scrubbing my clothes, but going back to the simpler ways and the simpler ways of eating and actually going in and preparing your food, there's a ritual there that's very satisfying.
Oh, yeah.
When you allow yourself to do that.
Yeah.
People get so used to being so modernized, they lose it doesn't have the quality anymore of the ritual.
You know, I think food tastes different when it's cooked over wood, even if it's in a stove, you know.
Yeah. I do too.
It has, because it heats up and cools down, it's not regular like a proper, like a gas flame or an electric, plate. You know, it has its very slightly random quality to it. You know, sometimes it gets far too hot and you kind of burn the edges of it, but that adds to its that unique flavor of that day. So everything has its own signature. For the moment that it's made. It always tastes great. Listen, Georgia, we're at the top of the second hour. Thank you so much for coming on and shooting the breeze with me. You've really helped me, go through these 4 hours. I've had 4 hours of production anyway. Made it a great joy. Thank you so much. Stay tuned, everybody, on Wall Street Radio. Georgia Cammon, thank you very much. Do you have a website?
Yes, I do. It's innaturewisdom.com.
Innaturewisdom.com. Georgia Cammon, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks.
Good night.